All that glitters is silver. The precious metal hits a record high.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Now the global perspective, when we take a look at what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The Federal Reserve meets today to talk monetary policy. The Fed is expected to start scaling back some of the extraordinary measures it took during the financial crisis. Speculation over that meeting has pushed the dollar down this morning. Meanwhile, gold has been rising for weeks, and silver has also reached record highs. Here to talk metals with us is Bob McKee, chief economist with Independent Strategy in London. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Bob, silver is up 52% this year. It's about $46 an ounce. It seems to have followed kind of the same trajectory that gold has. Is silver just the poor man's gold?
Well, it has been considered that in the past. There's a lot of cash out there that big banks and companies are holding. They're looking to find a better return. But also gold and silver are seen as a way of protecting the assets and cash that you've got from a decline in paper currencies, in particular the dollar.
One difference that I have noticed between silver and gold is that silver seems to be a lot more volatile.
Well, silver is a much more speculative market. I mean, gold has a traditional role. First of all, not only a hedge against paper currencies like the dollar, but also as a cautionary investment against inflation, increased inflation. So gold has that traditional role, and therefore it has a more stable basis to its price. Silver is much more volatile because it's smaller and because there's much more speculation going on in that market.
Bob McKee is chief economist with Independent Strategy in London. Bob, thank you.
Thank you.
Hundreds of people in central China are sick after eating pork tainted with illegal food additives. It's the latest in a recent spate of food scandals in China. Rob Schmitz has more.
2 weeks ago, a Shanghai housewife discovered the pork she had bought contained so much bacteria that it glowed in the dark. It seems like a new food scandal is now a weekly event in China. But guess what? It may be because the food in China is actually getting safer.
The greater awareness of these issues, in some respect, may actually indicate progress.
Lester Ross is an attorney in Beijing who studies food safety regulations in China.
Just in the last month or so, there have been more than half a dozen different directives to control baby formula and a variety of other things.
Wu Ming is an outspoken critic of China's food safety at Beijing University. She says China's enacted so many policies that enforcing them all has become a problem. Lester Ross says the market may prove to be the best enforcer. The companies at the heart of the tainted milk scandal a few years ago saw their shares collapse and two company officials were even executed. Plus, foreign milk brands, including American ones, saw an uptick in sales. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
It is a mixed morning for the markets. Tokyo's Nikkei index fell 0.1%. European markets are mostly up. Yesterday, U.S. markets were mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 0.2% to close at 12,479. And Groupon's getting a little competition. Facebook is launching a daily online coupon service in 5 cities starting today, including San Diego, Atlanta, and Austin.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
Today marks the 25th anniversary of Chernobyl. Thousands of lives were lost and billions of dollars were spent in what was the world's worst nuclear disaster. But some researchers now say the economic and human toll is actually less than one might think. Dr. Burton Bennett headed the UN's Chernobyl Forum. Dr. Bennett, good morning.
Good morning.
Your report back in 2005 estimated that about 4,000 people will eventually die from the effects of Chernobyl, which actually struck me as a lot fewer than I would have thought.
Yes, there were a number of individuals who did receive very high radiation exposures, including workers who were on site during the night of the accident. But most of the people who were either evacuated from the area or continued to live in the contaminated regions received relatively low doses of radiation, levels that would not be expected to lead to serious and widespread public health consequences.
Well, it sounds like the physical problems caused by the radiation appear to be maybe less severe than we had thought. What about other kinds of trauma, psychological trauma, things like that?
Yes, that's certainly definitely a factor in this situation. The countermeasures taken soon after the accident were effective, the evacuations, the restrictions of agricultural products and so forth. But the people continue to live in a contaminated area, and it's an area that's economically depressed. There's an overall level of ill health, and there's constant worry about radiation and its effects. And all of these things are no doubt contributing to ill health in the population.
Do you think we'll see some of the same misperceptions and realities 25 years after the nuclear disaster that we're seeing now in Japan?
Surely we will. Radiation is not well understood, although we live in a sea of radiation from natural sources all around us, and we continue to be bombarded by cosmic rays, and there's natural levels of radionuclides in diet and in our bodies. It's always a little bit sensationalized in the media to bring attention to issues, but I don't think this is objective from what we know about radiation.
Right. There seems to be a big fear factor,
yes.
I think, a lot of times with radiation.
That's certainly the case, and that probably will always be so.
Dr. Burton Bennett was the chairman of the UN's Chernobyl Forum. Dr. Bennett, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, Archie is going international. The popular comic is going to start selling Spanish language titles on iTunes and smartphones. Veronica, Betty, Jughead will all be there. The company says the gags translate well. Apparently, complaining about homework and shamelessly juggling girlfriends are universal. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
A lot of American-grown wheat goes to the Middle East, so farmers here know the politics there pretty well.
If the government stopped subsidizing wheat, they would have a lot of riots. I mean, it would make Tahrir Square look kind of small.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Let them eat bread. Next time on Marketplace, that and the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.